Yes, right.
Ladies and gentlemen.
So it is 9:01 on November 16th. This is the Joint Legislative Council. Ms. Kessel, would you call the roll?
Representative Klayman.
Here.
Representative Edgman. Representative Keto. Representative Millett.
Here.
Representative Ortiz. Representative Stutes. Representative Drummond.
Here.
Representative Eastman. Senator Coghill.
Here.
Senator Giesel.
Here.
Senator Hoffman. Senator Kelly. Senator McKinnon.
Here.
Senator Machuki.
Here.
Senator Costello. Vice Chair Stedman.
Here.
Chair Guttenberg.
Present. Thank you. Thank you for being here. The first order is the approval of the agenda. Agenda has, first let me ask, well, approve the, move that the agenda be approved. Are there any discussion or changes to the agenda?
Representative Guttenberg, this is Representative Edgman just calling in.
Thank you.
Representative Guttenberg, this is Representative Ortiz calling in.
Thank you.
Representative Guttenberg, it's Representative Klayman. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Matt. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I move that Legislative Council approve the agenda as presented.
Guess would you call the members? Call the roll.
Klayman.
Yes.
Representative Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Millett.
Yes.
Representative Ortiz.
Yes.
Representative Drummond.
Yes.
Senator Coghill.
Yes.
Senator Giesel?
Yes.
Senator McKinnon?
Yes.
Senator Machuki?
Yes.
Vice Chair Stedman?
Yes.
Chair Guttenberg?
Yes. Thank you for that. I want to thank everybody for attending, whether they're on the voice or here in present. It's a tough time of year, complicated time of year, and but this is Ledge Council. We manage the business of the legislature, and we have things to do. And I appreciate everybody's time and effort. So we have two sets of minutes from September 21st and October 19th. Do we need a motion for each one separately, or do we need one motion for both of them? One motion. On the minutes, are there any comments, are there any corrections or additions that need to be made to the minutes? Hearing none, Senator.
Mr. Chairman, I move that Legislative Council approve the minutes dated September 21st, 2018, October 19th, 2018.
It's called the roll.
Senator Klayman?
Yes.
Representative Edgman?
Yes.
Representative Millett?
Yes.
Representative Ortiz?
Yes.
Representative Drummond?
Yes.
Coghill?
Yes.
Senator Giesel?
Yes.
Senator McKinnon?
Yes.
Senator Machicki?
Yes.
Vice Chair Stedman?
Yes.
Chair Guttenberg?
Yes. Thank you. The minutes are approved. Next order of business is the Anchorage Legislative Office Building, or the remodeling, which is the building we're in now. I appreciate everybody's time. The memos and the papers and the designs should have come back. We have been working with the architect and the building manager and the builder to come up with a design that it would be pretty much a universal available for any legislature coming in, regardless of situation. There are some. We have a memo that's dated November 12th, everybody. There, and I'll just read the highlights. All the offices are approximately the same square footage. All the offices have natural light windows. The ombudsman and ethics are in our office, are in the building, or will be in the building for savings. We have there are some fiscal notes we're saving. It's in our advantage to have them in here. And leadership offices are larger for the presiding officer and their staff. We chose the finishes to be modest, neutral, and functional. Kitchen and bathroom breaks and kitchenettes and coffee rooms on each floor. There's collaborative office space in each corridor. Small conference meeting rooms have been added. And the schedule has been designed to have legislators in the new offices shortly after adjournment. You know, we had a meeting here with staff and legislators about the design. And for me, the input was great. Senator Giesel's staff had some really, I thought some of their comments about breakout rooms, the kitchenettes was really functionally, thought that was really good. Enjoyed being in the office across from you for a while, so getting to know your staff, I thought those were excellent ideas. And we have the design worked slow and took time, but we tried to get it right and appropriate. And I will open it up for questions. We have three motions because we have three situations, and they are on page number one. 1500 West Benson is the top line, and I had it broken down so it was easier for me to read it visually and understand what we were doing. The first box is the design. Is the remodeling of the three floors, the 2, 3, and 4. That is the big lift. That is the one that will get everybody into spaces when they come back from Juneau in May or June. Number two is the is code, basically things to deal with code. And number three is the basically the parking lot renewal and exterior work that has to be done. So the first option is $6.7 million. Adding the second option is another $324,000, and the third option is about $1 million. Brings the total of this package up to $8 million and change. I'm open for discussion and questions on what we're doing and you know, it's important to have clarity on this and that people have all the issues that are in front of them, questions answered to their satisfaction. And we have here, besides our LAA staff, we have the builder and the architect, the building manager and the architect for any further questions. Senator Stedman.
Sure, maybe we can have them come forward and kind of walk through each floor, any differences, and explain the how they're laid out, why they're laid out, how many offices are per floor. And a little more detail for the record, so there's a clear understanding.
And identify yourself, please, so for the record.
With ECI Architects.
And Alicia Martin with Colliers.
Okay, so I'll just do a general overview, and the number of offices per floor has changed so many times that I may get it wrong on one or two floors. The drawings are correct if my numbers are wrong. So I will say a little bit about schedule as well as I go through the floors, because those questions might come up. So starting with the second floor, so the second floor includes two non-legislator staff suites. It includes the ombudsman, as you had referenced. With ethics, and you can see those off to the left. So straight to the left, the upper is ethics, and down below that is the ombudsman. The ombudsman suite is accessible right off of the elevator lobby, and that's deliberate. You can see the little secure reception area. That was at their request. They are there now. And the rest of it is dedicated mostly to legislative suites, except the upper middle is the lunch break room. There's been one minor change to these when we submitted them for final permit. We moved the door that enters to the lunch break up to that next wall line, and what that allowed us to do was allow access to, on the left there, with the number 5 on it, that's vending, and then on the right's a little kitchenette area. You can now access those without going to the break room property. That was a code-driven decision, but it had some benefits. So that's the one change versus what you're seeing in all these plans. Right below that are bathrooms. That's the general location of the existing bathrooms, except these are completely remodeled and upgraded to current ADA standards, accessibility standards. So we will be code compliant throughout the building once this is complete. And then I believe, if my number was correct, there are, is it 7 or 8 legislative offices on this floor? I don't remember. Over to the far right is IT. There is one large conference room on the second floor. When you first come off of the elevator, just to your right, that's deliberately placed to be convenient so that you can meet visitors there and hold sessions when these rooms are not available. Any questions on the second, or should I jump to? Oh, there is a schedule thing I want to mention about the second. So the ombudsman is currently occupying the floor. They're going to stay there during construction. That complicates our schedule for this floor. So what's going to happen is, the contractor is going to create safe exiting for them and then build out the rest of the floor. And then in May, they're going to shift over to the right side of the plan. We'll be able to get two of the legislators in, and then their suite will be renewed, and it'll be complete in July. So this is the one floor where half of it for occupancy by legislators is delayed until end of July, and that's related to having the ombudsman in. Cycling it. So any questions on 2 before I go to 3?
Senator Trump.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Meisner. I wasn't clear just off the break room on the left side, that space labeled 5. What is in that space?
That will be vending machines or some type of similar service. I think it's still being decided.
It's Representative Clayman. I have a question. One at a time.
Meaning, vendors that would be physically present?
No, it's still a vending service, mm-hmm. and it just offers fresh selections that are mm-hmm. renewed every day. Mm-hmm. Just gives a little more option. There will be some sort of vending there, but more what the building owners want, maybe not just that are in vending for a long period of time.
Okay, and if I might.
Go ahead.
And that lunch break space is for the entire building. There's just one on the second floor.
There is, yeah. And there'll be little kitchenettes on the other floors mm-hmm. for quick things. Mm-hmm. And we also see the lunch and break area being used maybe for eating space at some point or for other opportunities for gather conference room.
Okay, and just out of curiosity, how does that space compare to this space, which I assume is the other largest space in the building?
In the end, it's smaller than this. It's limited to 49 occupants once we move that door back.
And what's our limit in this space?
I can't remember. It's 199.
So it's half.
Okay, but that's it for now, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Representative Clayman, did you have a question?
Just one question about the same area, the lunch break room on the second floor.
Yes,
with
it is.
The new door configuration, does that mean the kitchen would actually be before you go through the doors into the break room?
That's correct, and there'll be a door direct into the kitchen portion of lunch break from the corridor.
Okay, thank you.
Any questions on 2? Let's go to Move up floor. Okay, let's take the elevator.
The elevator up or the stairs, if you choose.
Go for it today.
Floor three, which is currently in a state of readiness for construction, demolition occurred already in September, is entirely dedicated to legislator offices. So everywhere you look, there's legislative offices. I want to highlight a couple things. As you come off the elevator, to your right, there's a smaller conference room that's suitable for a meeting of about 8 to 10 people. And then right above that are two phone rooms. We deliberately created these smaller meeting rooms. They're called phone, but they're suitable for a meeting of four people, small meeting. Bathrooms similar to below, brought into ADA compliance. And then on this floor, there are a couple of internal spaces labeled. One is visiting and one is meeting as you go up above. Those are interchangeable. They can be small suites for, or not suite, but a small office for a visiting legislator, or they can be used as additional meeting space. And then you'll see a couple broad areas called collaboration left and right off of the corridor. The corridors are deliberately widened to be functional for breakout. That was a request from Senator Giesel's staff and from a lot of other staff endorsed strongly as places where you can get together and talk about ideas and just kind of bump into each other and do the work of being a legislator and staff. On left and right, at the far areas, we've got non-anchorage legislative offices. Those are a little funky because of the shape of the building. We did our best to make the most of those corners. They do have a window. It's interchangeable in how those might be used, of whether the legislator would get the window or the staff. And that'll just kind of be worked out, each his own as they take that. There are a couple storage rooms and data rooms that have been added since you saw this in the summer. I think importantly, the square footage of each suite is almost the same, and calling them a suite really isn't appropriate. These are just offices, so there's room for a couple of staff and a legislator in each. So any questions on this? This is kind of the generic floor. Four looks a lot like this.
Senator Stim.
Yes, on the visiting location,
yeah,
there's an interior partition, it looks like, between the non-windowed space and the windowed space. In the other areas I've worked where we've had offices with no windows, we've actually put them in the interior wall. So you'd have a set of blinds you can open and close, so you could get some natural light into that little triangle office with no windows, even though the light would be coming through your adjoining staff area or vice versa.
It's a little hard to see in these plans, but that comment had come up from staff as well, and we added windows. So about half of that wall has windows. It's the part where the line looks darker. So,
and then have blinds on it or something.
Yeah, and that's how it's planned.
Good.
Yes, thank you.
Any other questions on third floor?
Total offices, how many legislators on floor three, floor four, and floor two, I guess?
Is it 27 or 28? Do you remember the final count? Not counting the non-anchorage. You remember, Jeff? I counted this morning. I think it's 20.
Well, we can add them up.
It's enough.
It's enough. Okay.
That number changed a lot.
Okay.
Fourth floor is almost identical to the third floor in layout. The difference is that at the center, we've got leadership staff. And can we... go to the next one. So the big difference is as you go straight up to the top, those two office areas are larger for leadership. So they are able to have more staff in their offices. I think that's the primary difference on this floor.
Mr. Chairman, this is Senator McKinnon. I have a few questions.
Go ahead, Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Specifically on the fourth floor and the leadership offices, when we originally talked about this building, we talked about bringing in tenants, which has been done, it sounds like, on the second floor to house the ombudsman on the second floor. On the fourth floor, that's ideal rental space, and so I heard a comment just a moment ago about we have enough offices, and I'm wondering if we have too many offices or if the speaker would like to follow up on that comment, because the fourth floor would be more ideal space to rent to a third party versus the legislature using that if we didn't have to.
Well, I guess I'll take that. You know, it certainly has been a discussion about office space. When we moved in some agencies, we narrowed it down, and I think at the end of the day, the need, though we have adequate, there isn't enough. I think one of the things was to have enough space for rental when we accommodated all of us, and I think there was criticism for become a larger went both ways between being a larger landlord and just keeping this for the legislature and agencies, and it just evolved into this situation. If we were going to redesign this, you know, taking out some of the non-Anchorage office space, and I don't think it adds up to a lot of office space having rental, then we have other it gets complicated when we start mixing it within our own office spaces. But it evolved into not having other non-agencies in the building.
So from my perspective, that's disappointing because we were trying to drive down the lease space cost by including outside third-party interests or other Alaska state agencies in the building to drive down the legislature's footprint. Setting that aside, on the fourth floor, do you have soundproofing in between the leadership offices?
Yes, there's soundproofing between each set of legislative offices, but not between staff and legislator. And I will clarify, too, because I just checked the count. The reason we have different counts is that we have 26 legislative offices, 2 leadership offices, and 5 non-Anchorage offices. And then in addition to that, there are the smaller visiting rooms.
Senator, right on the effective or your expectation of the effective sound barrier within the office?
Sure.
Between staff and the...
So between staff and legislator, the way those walls are constructed, if someone's speaking in a slightly raised voice, you will hear that someone's speaking, but it won't be intelligible. If someone yells, you will understand what they say between legislator and staff. Between legislator and adjacent legislator, or staff and adjacent legislative staff, even if they're talking in very loud voices, you won't understand what's being said, and you probably won't even understand someone's talking. So very good soundproofing.
Mr. Chairman, this is Senator McKinnon. Follow up on that.
Go ahead, Senator.
Mr. Chairman, I would make sure that we write into the contract that we have with the architect a guarantee on that particular clause. One of the complaints of the previous building was that we could hear in other offices very sensitive issues that individual constituents may bring to us that expect privacy, as well as legislators speaking with other legislators on sensitive topics. And so soundproofing both between those leadership offices on the fourth floor and all of the offices are imperative, and it should be assured in the contract.
So what I would respond to that is that we're not able to provide that type of guarantee or assurance in our contract. Our insurer would uninsure us. But what I can offer is that all of the new conference rooms and suites in the Atwood building are constructed with these types of walls. And we've gone in and tested them by literally yelling on one side and finding out who's intelligible. Alicia and I have stood on opposite sides of those walls. And we encourage any of you to do the same. These walls are being constructed as the new Atwood building walls are, and they are proven over there to work.
So is there a standard for a book standard in the codes for that the level of sound barrier that we're looking for? I mean, I understand you can't guarantee it,
but there is, yeah, and it's there's a couple of ratings, and the most relevant one is an STC rating. And when we speak of the standard that was developed for the Department of Administration, we have type A walls, which are for highly confidential walls, such as conference room walls, type B walls, which are a step down but still quite good, and type C. The construction in this is type A and type B for those Department of Administration standards. And if I'm remembering the SDC ratings correctly, a type A was 61, which is extremely high, and type B was a 55, if I'm remembering correctly. Very good. And all significantly better than any wall was constructed in this original building.
So I think at this point we just have to, our building manager and the agency just have to monitor to make sure that we're getting that, so we don't have to come back and retrofit. We just have to make sure it gets built into the original construction.
And I think the things that we find with these types of walls, A and B type for the DOA standard, when there is an issue, it just needs to be reported, and we usually will come back and somebody has forgotten to seal around an electrical outlet or bottom of wall or head of wall. Those are the types of locations where sound leaks in these walls. And the fix is usually very simple. It's usually just someone missed something during construction. So we keep our eye out for that during the construction. But if you find that there is a problem, call us back, and that's probably what it is, and it's easily fixable.
So we went through a similar problem when we originally leased the Fairbanks LIO, which was a, looked like the third floor. It was brand new building without any construction, any offices. And they put in some permanent walls and some temporary walls. And when we moved in, between my office and Representative Kawasaki's office, you could put your hand around the wall. It was just the nature of the temporary walls. This is what we're going. But they had to come back in and caulk and seal after the fact and go into the ceiling. So I want to make sure that that we do build it into the original construction and the design work.
Right. And there's a couple other things we can do too. When the first walls are built, we can do the Yale test. The Yale test is the best way of knowing if it's working.
Okay. Any other questions? That's
Representative. Mr. Chairman, I have two more.
Well, let me, after Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Meisner, I see that we talked about the interior windows on the third floor. Mm-hmm. In the non-Anchorage legislative office staff, I see that's missing on this level. I assume it just might be an oversight. Over there on the left, room 427, there are no
On the
relights, is that what we call them?
Let me just double check. Yeah, that is something that is just related to the earlier version of this, because we were looking at different ways of configuring those two offices, and when they went in for permit, the fourth floor actually looks just like the third. So I apologize. That was the other thing we changed after the, in addition to the break room.
Okay, and then one more question regarding these kinds of relights. The, in the center, the leadership staff offices that are just off the corridor, those don't have any natural light coming in either through the side leadership staff walls or from the leadership offices. Is that intentional, or will there be light coming into those interior offices as well?
I think that's a question that needs input right now. It's intentional because the use of those was seen as potentially changing depending on how leadership chose to use those. They could open outward towards the corridor, or they could open inward towards the leadership area. Yes, we are open to input of where the better place would be for those relights. It's a question that we didn't ever quite get answered.
One more follow-up.
Yeah, I would say in those in that wall that runs left to right, so that it brings in natural light. That's what my suggestion would be, to not miss that opportunity to bring light into every office.
Okay. Thank you for that,
Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you speak to the use of glass in this design? In the previous design, sometimes, or in the current existing facility, constituents or anyone can walk through and see who legislators are meeting with, which creates some concern for constituents who may not want to be seen in the building. Can you speak to the use of glass?
Sure. So in general, if we look at any of the office areas, there are relights to the hallway, so there's glass to the hall. And so if the blinds are not pulled on the interior glass, then persons can see into the staff area. But I don't believe there's any suite where someone in the hall can see into the legislator's office. So it's designed such that if that privacy is needed, you duck into the legislator office rather than the staff area.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is there a reason we wouldn't use frosted glass versus requiring blinds?
The
interior pieces?
Yeah, Alicia has just reminded me, we do have that film that came as a request. So each of those windows from the hallway has film up to a height where it's obscured to 5 or 6 feet. So a visual height it's obscured through.
I think we did that last week, didn't we? Yeah.
That was a late ad.
Senator McKinnon, anything
else? Chairman, may I follow up?
Okay. Yes, go ahead.
I have two others, but one is inside the building conversation and one is outside of this conversation. The one inside the conversation has to do with the second floor and the vending machines, and I'm not sure it's for the architect, but I'm wondering if when we design vending machines to come in, if we have thought about a revenue source for that and if we're going to make sure that the state receives something to allow a private company in to sell us or how that's going to work. Can you speak to that, Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead. Sure.
Yeah, we're still considering what the options are going to be for that vending area and whether a micro market would be better or vending and getting proposals together for that area to present to the group and decide what is the best use of the space and considering if the income of that also.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know who was speaking.
Alicia with Colliers.
The building manager.
Senator, that was the building manager.
Thank you. Well, I, again, would just put on the record that we were trying to do this building correctly and that the state should receive a portion of any kind of revenue that's coming in on that space.
Yes. And we're trying to bring in various private sectors that do those kinds of things. And you were at the last meeting we had with the building manager and architect. We were talking about comparable places in other office buildings here in Anchorage and who was doing those things and what they were providing. They're still working on the details and looking for proposals from the private sector to provide those services.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I guess you can ask your other question.
Mr. Chairman, for those who've been around the legislature for a while, sometimes I'm known as the procurement person from when I was in the House of Representatives and then on into the Senate. And so I'm wondering if you or someone there can provide some light on the process as far as the procurement award goes for this proposed contract.
Jessica, do you want to come up or to Megan or walk through that?
For the record, Jessica Geary, Executive Director, Legislative Affairs Agency, through the Chair, Senator McKinnon. So when this project was initially discussed, there was the procurement question was asked at a November 21st, 2016 meeting, and then Executive Director Pam Varney went through the procurement process, and there right now we're utilizing a government-to-government contract through the Department of Administration with Colliers International, who was Coldwell Banker at the time. And they did a competitive bid, an RFP, and they had a bunch of offers show up, and Bauer Construction ended up winning the bid at that time. And the project hasn't changed. There's been changes to the design, changes to the basically the discussions involving the details, but we're still operating under the same contract that was approved at that time. There just hasn't been much motion forward on the project. So, and you know, our legal team reviewed the procurement at that time. We've re-reviewed everything that that went on, and everything was by the book.
So, Senator, I guess the answer to your question is this is still the original contract for the contractor to remodel the building.
Mr. Chairman, if you believe that that's adequate description for the public and the procurement process, thank you very much.
Can you just affirm that or...
For the record, this is Megan Wallace, Director of Legal Services. I would just confirm what Jessica just described. My legal team looked at the initial proposal when it came through before the council in 2016, and we re-reviewed things, and I concur that this procurement meets the procurement code for the legislature.
Any other questions on that subject or anything else? Thank you. Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I actually have a question on the floor plan. So not for the Ledge Fairs folks. Thank you. This is what happens when you let me look at this for too long. I'm looking at the door swings into and out of the bathrooms. Those seem to be the wrong way to me. It seems to me they should open against the interior wall rather than towards the hallway. It looks to me like anybody with a wheelchair would have a hard time getting around that door. But that's not a cost issue. It's just in terms of which way the doors hang.
Representative Drummond, we will take a look at that again. Those swings have changed a lot. They currently comply with ADA requirements, and I agree that they are awkward. So we will take one last look. We're very limited with the available space, but it just seems like we should be able to swing them the other way.
It looks like you should just be able to flip the door from across the hallway.
Yeah, mirror
just put it,
yeah.
It this way. Right?
Yeah, mirror.
And also, I have to point out that I appreciate that they swing out from the bathroom so that you can leave the bathroom without touching the door handles.
Otherwise, we end up with a pile of paper towels at the door there.
Yeah, that's hint to do the doors right. So yeah. Thank you. Thank you to the architects.
Thank you for that comment. We will look again and see if we can mirror that.
Thank you.
So just a personal comment on that. I spent too much time in the University of Washington Hospital, and one thing that I had noticed was the setup between the sink, the towels, and the handle and where you and the disposal was unique. It just worked, right? It just in other places it's awkward, and especially in a hospital or a place where people are concerned about, I mean, we live in a kindergarten, that's basically everybody's sick all the time, and I was impressed, and I've told other places that you should find out what they did, because it's really interesting, and it just that whole process. Any other questions? Any other issues on the building layout or any other issues on the proposals?
Mr. Chairman. Senator Machicki here. Just very quickly, just a quick schedule rundown, please, if this is approved.
I'll go ahead and take that. This is Brian Meisner again. So if approved, work would start immediately. And construction would start specifically immediately on the third floor, which has already been demolished and is ready to go. And then work would start on the second floor as soon as we could get the the northeastern quadrant moved out, and not long after on the fourth floor. More importantly, so delivery of the third floor would be first and is anticipated for early May. Delivery of the fourth floor is anticipated for early June, and delivery of the second floor in August, with the caveat that we do a switch of where Ombudsman's located in May to allow the build out of the second part of that floor.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Chairman, before we get to, I don't know what your next stage in discussion is, but can you clarify that this funding has been appropriated, I believe? This is not new funding?
Yes, this is not new funding. This has been allocated to the legislature to do this project. It is, we don't need anything by the legislature to approve or move funds in. This has been put aside, allocated for this project.
Thank you.
I want to get that affirmed by Megan or Jessica. This is not new.
For the record, Jessica Geary, Executive Director. This is not new money. This was previously appropriated, and it is available.
Thank you. Representative Drummond.
Mr. Chairman, this is Senator Coghill.
Okay. Go ahead, Senator Coghill.
On this, there's a contingency of about $300,000, and I would just like to know how that number came to be that number. A formula or something like that?
It's based on 5%. This is Brian Meisner again. It's based on 5% of construction cost. In addition, there's a small amount of contractor contingency within the Bauer number to cover any scope gaps.
All right. That was what I wanted to know. Thank you.
Senator, in agreeing with you in that conversation, I keep asking about cost containment and overruns and oversight in that process and making sure that it's in place and that feedback happens when things come before the next Ledge Council and Ledge Affairs and the building manager, that we know about them, that we understand what they are, and we can approve them or not approve them. And if there are design changes and additional costs from the next legislature, that they understand what they're doing and there are additional costs, and they approve those things, so that we're responsible at the end for all those actions and understand what they are. Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I understand all of the interior work will happen during the winter, so to speak, and when the legislature is in Juneau. In terms of the parking lot piece, I think I just need a little more description of what that involves. Is renewal just repaving, or is there new curb and gutter and that sort of thing? Are there additional islands required with this much work? If you just go through that, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you, Representative Drummond. So the parking lot is a complete renewal with new curb and gutter and with new parking islands. As part of that, we'll need to move towards conformance with Anchorage's Title 21 zoning requirements. So it's a complete redo.
So can you, Representative, can you address that? The out of box number three, the obviously the big ticket item is the parking lot renewal, and there have been question marks on is it appropriate? Can we wait a couple of years? What is the actual condition? Can you address that?
Misha with Colliers. The parking lot is beyond its useful life at this time. You know, we have, since we've been involved in the building, since you've owned it, done crack sealing and done some patching. But even last year when we did crack sealing, the review of it with the contractor was, we're not sure exactly where to stop crack sealing because there's alligatoring in lots of sections of the parking lot, which it doesn't do any good to crack seal. We've known that the interior of the building is most important right now for functionality and comfort, and the parking lot needs to follow. I think when we were tasked with this budget, it was, you know, not to be coming back every year for needing more funds and to put everything on here that's going to get this property up to as close as we can to code compliant and be done with it so that you can use the building and operate it here without a lot of disruption. So in my opinion, the parking lot can't wait past another year.
So it is part of my philosophy on putting on this project and things on the table is not to have Ledge Council come back in a year or 2 years and say, well, how come we didn't know? You know, we're putting everything on the table. That should be our decisions on what we want to do. No, as the owner, manager of the building, that we have, we understand the nature of what we're dealing with and what the costs are. Nothing's getting cheaper. But that we, as a legislature and the next legislature and then one after that, won't look back and say, how come we didn't know? The parking lot is something that I'm not down here often enough, you know, to have looked at it or run into a lot of the problems. But I asked them to make sure that there was nothing left out that we could decide to do. So I appreciated that.
Thank you. And Representative Chair, I have a question when there's time.
Okay, Representative Drummond.
Thank you. Melissa, you said it can't wait past another year. So are you saying that this estimate is good for, say, until the summer of 2020?
This estimate would be for this next summer, for 2019, summer of 2019. I don't know. It depends on, I guess, what happens with materials as to what would happen to take it out to 2020.
But delaying for another year would add costs.
It would add costs.
Okay.
But it's also an estimate and not a bid.
Correct.
Right. Okay. There was a question online. Was that Representative Clayman?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Thank you. The question I had in box number three, the questions I had about the parking lot renewal have been answered, but can you provide a little bit more information or have one of the folks presenting a little bit more information on the LED lighting and the parking lot cameras and light poles and how that impacts.
Representative, can you speak up or we can barely hear you. Did you hear him? Okay. Thank you.
This is Brian Meisner.
Is that better?
He was seeking clarification on the other line items exterior soffits and lighting. There are several small soffits.
And particularly as it and also how it relates to the safety concerns.
Okay. Yeah, so the exterior soffits and lighting is about energy leaks mostly, and it's somewhat visual. So the entry at the main entry has a small exterior soffit you can see when you look up, and old lights, a little bit rusty. Similar situation is repeated at about five different locations as you walk around the building. Those are your biggest energy leaks right now. They're very, very poorly insulated. So that's the biggest issue there, and the lights are an old style energy hog. So that's an energy project. It's not a safety project. The second one, exterior light poles with LED lighting. You have really old lighting in the parking lot. This would improve illumination and safety, and it would also reduce energy usage of the lighting. That number that's quoted there really should be done at the same time as the parking lot renewal, because it's about putting new poles in, and we'll be putting them in different locations based on what we have to do with new islands. And then the last one is a security and safety issue to add parking lot cameras on light poles. This is something that has been requested really since we started work on this in 2016. It's very expensive to do that. As a standalone project, it's very inexpensive to do it as part of the parking lot renewal. So there's a caveat in the note that it would cost less as part of the parking lot renewal, probably about half that.
And getting down to the real minutia, there were some comments. We had a walk around the building that there was a flagpole for the American flag was up there, and why isn't there one for state flag? And the answer was that pole could hold two flags. It's a two-flag pole.
Well, yes.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to get in the queue when there's time.
Go ahead, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, have we worked with the adjacent landholder? Our parking lot it's a huge parking lot, and there's two buildings. Is there any synergy in doing both parking lots together?
We have had some conversations with the adjacent owners about the parking lot. Can we, what were those specifically? They wanted to buy, somebody wanted to buy some of our spots. Was that part of it, or?
That would be on the overflow parking across the way. I think we're talking about the building that would be adjacent here on the other side of the lot. I have not had any dialogue with them. We had some issues with them parking on our portion of the lot, and our security guard has helped us make sure that they are parking over on the other lot. But other than that, we haven't had any discussions with them, and certainly could approach them and see if there was an opportunity for that cost savings to do two lots.
I think that's an
Mr. Chairman, this is Senator McKinnon.
Senator?
It would be appreciated. I'd appreciate just taking a look at that.
Sure.
Because it's going to, when we go into our, if we approve this and go into a remodel of that parking lot, it's going to impact them. So if there's any way to do something together, it might create a better business relationship between the two properties.
Thank you, Senator. Really good point. And there might be an economy of, if they want theirs done at the same time, and even if they don't, we're going to have to ask them if we can use some of the overflow parking when we're doing ours. You know, a contractor coming in and doing it all at once is better than, you know, playing it around with it. Representative?
Thank you. This, and I'm assuming that this parking lot renewal includes only the parking lot on this block, and it has nothing to do with the one that's half a block away, which serves as overflow parking, and I imagine could be used when the parking lot is under construction.
Yes, that is correct.
And I assume the parking lot work can only happen in the summer.
Correct.
In terms of use of the parking lot by the building to the east, has it been considered to talk about a shared parking arrangement, particularly when there aren't special events planned for this building that stress the parking needs on this side? I think that would be a good neighborly way to proceed in terms of, you know, the public doesn't perceive it as separate parking lots the way we design parking lots in this town.
Yes, I would agree. We can facilitate to open dialogue with that building owner and talk with them about, you know, all of the things that we've just discussed here, all the points to bring forward to talk with them about.
And just one more point.
Hello?
The overflow lot half a block away, does that require any work, or is that in decent condition?
That one is in decent condition.
Right? Okay. So that one is as is for the time being.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. What are the questions? Are there other issues? So I am going to suggest that we start with the motion on page 5, and if people want to take stuff off, Senator, did you want to come?
Go ahead.
Motion on page 5?
Motion on page 5, which is the total package that we're looking at. 1, 2, and 3, the remodel, the alternatives, and the parking lot issue. We're at ease.
Back on the record. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to go ahead and make a motion, and the motion is I move that Legislative Council approve the Phase 2 construction budget of $8,067,231 for the remodel of 1500 West Benson Boulevard, as presented, using legislative capital funds through the Property Management RSA for construction services with Department of Administration and Colliers International.
Is there discussion? Is there Is there an objection? Hearing none, please read the call the motion.
Representative Clayman.
Yes.
Representative Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Millett.
Yes.
Representative Ortiz.
Yes.
Representative Drummond.
Yes.
Senator Coghill.
Yes.
Senator Giesel.
Yes.
Senator McKinnon.
Yes.
Senator Machicki.
Yes.
Vice Chair Stedman.
Yes.
Chair Guttenberg.
Yes.
Eleven yeas, zero nays.
Thank you. Motion passes. I want to thank everybody for their consideration and their input. I think we have at various times the Anchorage LIO situation has been difficult, to say the least, and I think this was a responsible thing to do. I want to thank everybody for their input, and with that, there is no further business for the council. We are adjourned. Thank you. And I want to thank you for the builders also.
Mr. Chairman, one more comment. I want to thank you, Mr. Chairman, for taking on this thankless task of chairing the Legislative Council. I do believe this may be your last official act.
No, I don't believe so. What? I don't believe so.
Only in your dreams.
Thank you, but thank you. With that, we are adjourned. Thank you.